Welcome to those of you joining us in our virtual service today as well, Christmas Eve. You may be watching this on some other occasion, but we're still focused upon Advent here today, and we invite you to study God's Word with us. As we do so, we're all going to pray together. Father, it's just good to tune it down. Silence all of the other things that are blazing through our minds and just be in your presence. Holy Spirit, comfort our hearts. Give us strength, give us courage, give us help, give us hope. Bring from us everything that you desire that would be for your honor and glory, for your praise, and for our good. And may we again rest and revel in the wonders of your revelation to us that show us how. In Jesus' name, amen. I need grace. Anybody else need grace? I need grace every day. Not just when I mess up, not just when I say foolish and stupid things, trying to learn how to control my mouth, which means I have to control my mind first. And not just grace to be saved forever, but grace that lives every day. Some of you were here some years back when we worked our way through the book of Colossians, and in chapter 2, we came across what we chose for that year as sort of our theme verse in being rooted and grounded, that as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, Paul says, so walk in Him. How do we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Scripture tells us we receive Him by grace through faith. So if we live by the way that we were saved, then we live by grace through faith. Really not all that complicated to understand, just not so simple to live every hour of every day. Grace, as most of you know, is often defined as receiving something that you don't deserve. God's grace adds a divine dimension. So God's grace is giving us a divine favor that we do not actually merit. Something that comes out of that loving, gifting heart of God. And it's wound into the account of Christ's birth. In John chapter 1, you remember it begins by telling us Jesus is the Word. He was forever with the Father. He came into the world. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us and we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For this of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus is wrapped in grace. The work of God in bringing Christ, and then all that follows His birth, His life, His ministry, His death, His resurrection, His ascension to the Father, all of it is wrapping us in the grace of God. We see the grace in the characters that surround the Advent event, and we can experience it in our personal journey even today. So, as you can see on your outline, we're going to talk about grace. We're going to talk for the Christmas season about the many wrappings of grace. That is, various sets and subsets of how God has wrapped in Christ and around Christ His grace for our benefit. Now, I had actually thought about having five boxes up here, and I was going to unwrap each one and pull out the next aspect of grace. I gave up on the logistics. I gave up because we couldn't get it on the camera. I didn't have any place to put it. And then I said to myself, we live in a virtual world. So we can virtually unwrap these five grace gifts this morning. You know, you can play air guitar. So we're going to do air and rappings, all right? Just humor me a little here, okay? So here we go. We're going to unwrap. Undo the bow. You got to do this. Undo the bow. Lift the lid. And we find preparatory grace. I know that's kind of a big word for Sunday morning. It comes from the word prepare. We can get our arms around that, right? So preparatory grace is the grace that God prepares in advance, that He prepares before we actually need it, that He gives to us before we even know that we are going to need it. In our first week of Advent, we actually traced God's preparatory grace all the way from Adam and Eve through the Old Testament until we came to Jesus. I'm not going to repeat all that. But that was all part of the preparation for the coming of Messiah through the centuries until we meet Galatians 4:4, which is one of my favorite Christmas verses. In the fullness of time, God brought forth His Son. He brought grace into the world, grace and truth, wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. And Paul tells us in Ephesians that He did all of this while we were still His enemies, while we were rebellious and alienated toward His full righteousness. Now that's grace, and obviously something we can't earn. So if you want to have some fun to bring a little more of Jesus into your Christmas season, just spend a few minutes meditating about all the preparations that God made. Go back. If you have those notes, you can use those. You can just leaf through pages of a devotional or your own Bible, and you look at them. You see them in the Garden of Eden. You see them in Abraham. You see them in David. You see them in Joshua and in Moses and in Esther and in Ruth and in Paul. Sometimes we don't talk a whole lot about this, but just think about how God prepared Paul as a murderer. But previous to that, educated in the best Old Testament education he could possibly get so that he could do the best possible job of bringing the Old Testament Messiah to a Jewish and Gentile world. Prepared in advance. And then for us, now Ephesians 2 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, and then the following verse tells us that we are God's workmanship. We are in His hands, being prepared for good works, which He prepared for us before we were even saved, that we should walk in them. And God's preparatory grace continues. It meets us and ministers to us. I think about tons of illustrations, but one of the most vivid ones in our family experience has to do with my parents. My dad retired, they eventually moved to Arizona. Most of you know that. Found a church home there, got involved in a small group. Because of my dad's work life, they were never really in a small group of that nature all the years of his employment. They got connected to this group, but because they were young retirees, everybody else in the group was older than them. And one day in her devotions, my mom just felt pressed to begin praying for the first one of these five couples that was going to lose their spouse. And she began to pray, and she continued to pray without a hint or a clue that my dad would be the first one of those 10 to enter into heaven. God was preparing her heart for that. She was praying for herself before she ever even knew it. That's preparatory grace. God is just in the business of giving us grace before we need it and before we know we need it. And 2024 is probably going to hold some unknown things for most of us. things for which God may be right now getting us ready and we don't even realize it. But He is dumping into our lap the gift of His preparing grace. He grounds us in His truth. He cocoons us in His sovereignty. He transforms our minds and renews them into Christ's likeness. And then He prepares for us everything that we need to live this life. We thrive Christmas and every day of the year when we live in the reality of God's preparatory grace. Number two, and unwrap, lift the lid. I'm thankful for the three of you that are following along. Number two is persevering grace. Sometimes we just need to hang in there, and God gives us what we need to keep on going. Now, in His birth, Jesus was not very actively involved in His hanging in, but He was going to be hanging in through much of His life, all the way to the end, to the cross. But there were other people hanging on and experiencing God's preserving grace, persevering grace, in the birth narrative. Just think about Mary and Joseph. What kind of perseverance did it take to navigate those months of pregnancy, to make the journey that they had to make? Their travel agent wasn't very helpful in getting them to Bethlehem. There's Zacharias, who comes on the scene a bit earlier in that account. You remember married to Elizabeth, he goes into the temple to perform his service there, and an angel appears to him and tells him that he is going to have a son, even though his wife is past childbearing and has been barren their entire marriage. And he questions it and becomes mute. So now he spends the next 9 months unable to talk, communicating only, at best we imagine, by writing in some form or fashion, and yet sees God doing the work that is preparing for John, who is set apart to be the forerunner of Jesus in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah that one will come before the Messiah who will make His path straight. But they had to hang in there because it didn't all come with comfort. Jesus brings to us the power to persevere. Any of you persevering right now? Hanging in. Resiliency. You know, it's that cat hanging on the bar. You know, hang in there, baby. This is the divine help. James in the New Testament in the first chapter reminds us that we can rejoice in our trials because they bring about perseverance, endurance. How can we do that? How can you rejoice in the difficulties of life? Only when in the hand of God you are experiencing His persevering grace that keeps you hanging in till the end that is designed from the difficulties that swirl come into view. And then we see what God has been doing all along. In 2023, many of us have been hanging on. There have been battles to get through. There have been losses to endure. There have been challenges to surmount. People who had to find new homes to live in. People who had to deal with health problems and diagnoses and treatments. And guess what? Probably not going to be much different in 2024. We are going to find things through which we need to persevere. I can tell you on a personal note, I do not know where our family would be at this stage of our life if it was not for persevering grace. God sustaining, carrying, holding on, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. You could call this cling grace. Are you ready to cling? Because God is ready to give you the grace to do it. Number three. Here we go. Comforting grace. I specifically put this behind persevering grace because when you're persevering, you usually need comfort. And the good news is, in the hand of God, these are not separated into an outline and confined into little boxes in our file. The grace of God is the forever pervasive, always active grace of God. All of these things are ongoing in His mind and heart all of the time. We just break them apart so that we can reflect on and realize the wonders and the depths of what that grace amounts to. So I go back to Elizabeth, and I think about all the years that she longed for a son in a culture where to not have a son was a great shame, and in some people's minds was an evidence of God's judgment, a statement that something was wrong, that you couldn't bear a child. And then, miraculously, God brings a child. And he grows. And this son is now romping around in the wilderness in camel hair. You still need the grace and comfort of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." The carol, "God rest ye merry, comma, gentlemen." Many people get that goofed up. They think God's resting happy guys. No, he's saying, "God rest you joyfully, men." It affirms this truth. "O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy." And they come in the midst of some of the most difficult things of life. Mary has given birth to Jesus. She and Joseph, following the law, go to present him at the temple to offer a purifying sacrifice, and they meet Simeon there. And Simeon pronounces this messianic blessing over the infant, and then he gives this prophetic message to Mary in which he says, this child is actually appointed for the rise and fall of many in the world. And he will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul. I don't know that there's a whole lot more joyful in life than bearing a child. I don't mean the birth, I mean the having the kid when you're done. And in the midst of that euphoria, to say, "And this child is just going to be a pile of grief to you, and it's going to rip your heart out." How do you do that? You do it because there is a God behind it and underneath it who brings comforting grace. This is a season where griefs and sorrows wear heavy on our hearts. Many of us have lost a loved one or a close friend in the last few months. We're battling through other things we've alluded to. I join you this year. This is my first Christmas without either of my parents. It's a new season in the life of our family. And it comes with a certain degree of heaviness. The feeling of loss is more apparent, even when my father passed years ago. It's a dreadful thought. I'm the patriarch of the family. And then I remember comforting grace, that He, God, is the one who will carry my heart and your hearts, and who gives us hope, because a huge part of comfort is finding hope. So in our days of weakness and grief and sadness and sorrow and pain, remember that Christ came into the world that you might be wrapped in God's comforting grace. You're catching on. The fourth aspect of grace we're touching on this morning, I'm calling serving grace. This is the grace that gives to others. We'll get to Jesus in a minute, but in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the gifts that through Christ are given to believers. And he says, each one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Peter expands on this in chapter 4 of his first letter. As each one of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The one who speaks is to do so as uttering the utterances of God, and the one who serves is to do so as serving by the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Back to Mary, who had that moment when she encountered the angel who said, unwed mother, pure and holy, you're going to have a baby. And her first response is, how can this be? She knows her biology. The angel explains and she says, behold your bondservant, be it unto me as you have spoken. That son would later in his ministry make the proclamation that he, as Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when God calls us to serve, how do we respond? There's lots of ways that we weigh that out. I want to remind you that when God saved you through Christ, He did not bring with it a skybox in the stadium. He brought with it the gear so you could get in the game that's going on the field. You're not a spectator. You're a servant. And you follow in the serving feet of the one who saved you. Sometimes I look at the big decisions of life, the big asks that it seems that God is making, and I find those can almost be easier to answer to than the little ones that come day by day by day, because I can blow those off and it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal. But this is an invitation to be listening for where God asks us, big or small, long or short, to engage in the service of His kingdom and to be a part of His heart in this world. Joseph's journey reminds me of this, and we saw a couple weeks back that it includes sometimes waiting and wrestling and wondering and searching. But our question for this morning comes back to us. When it's clear what God is asking, are we ready to say, I'm your servant, be it unto me as you have? The last one, in some of your minds, maybe should have been the first, saving grace. Ephesians 2, verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. We aren't taking the time this morning to trace it through, but it's very easy through the New Testament to see that the whole purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to save the world. It's in His names, it's in His birth, it's in His prophecies, it's in His life. To omit that amazing grace would be a grave injustice while we're talking about God's grace in Christ. I think it's probably even safe to say that all of the other graces are actually subsets of saving grace, because they are the outflows of what happens when God has brought us into His family. All of us who, Romans tells us, have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but we are justified, declared righteous, made like Jesus as a gift by His grace through the redemption, the buying out of sin slavery that is in Christ Jesus. The baby in the manger was God's provision to rescue the world from a sin problem it could not solve for itself. It's not a new message, but it's an important one. And if it's not one that you have ever received, a gift of saving grace, then this would be a great day to say, God, I admit my need. I need a Savior. And You wrapped Him in saving grace so that I could be welcomed into Your forever. A bunch of years ago, I stumbled across an interesting little story that I want to close with. It's how do we identify with Jesus in His birth to bring this saving grace? So the story went something like this. I don't know if it's real or imagined, but in the end, it doesn't really matter if it makes the point. This couple lived in a nice chalet on a hillside in a European town. Surrounded by mountains and in winter snow, Christmas came along and they were discussing their plans. And the wife in the family decided that she would travel into the little town center where their church was for a Christmas Eve celebration, something like we'll do tonight. She asked her husband to come, and for whatever reasons he decided, no, I really need to stay at home and take care of business. So she left and he stayed. After she was gone, a storm blew up. They had big glass windows all the way across the front of the house, and he began to hear thumping on the windows. So he left his place where he was resting and he came out to the living room, and there he could see a flock of birds, and they were repeatedly smacking into the glass windows on the house. And he immediately said, this is not good. This is bad news for birds. He opened the front door, he looked out, and a couple of them were already laying on the porch. He couldn't tell whether just wounded, stunned, or dead. And he said, what can I do to help? So he went inside them. Maybe they're being attracted to the light. So he ran through the house and he shut off all of the lights. And the thumping didn't stop. He went back out onto the porch. He started waving his hands. He tried to get in their way to scare them off. And they kept thumping into the windows. And as he is engaged in this process, the thought goes through my mind, what do I have to do to be able to communicate with a bird to stop killing themselves? And about that time, on chimes of the little village church, he could overhear the melody of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And these words started running through his mind. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. And it was like a switch flipped in his brain. He wanted to talk bird, to keep the birds from self-destructing. And God sent His Son in the form of man to speak man so He could communicate to us how to stop self-destructing. That's the saving grace of Jesus. Emancipation from our sin. Freedom to live in the righteousness of Christ. Set free from guilt and shame and burdens of our past. And a new life that lasts forever. Saving grace, serving grace, comforting grace, persevering grace, preparatory grace. May we all be wrapped in all that came with Jesus when God sent him into the world to be our Savior. Lord, renew our minds, refresh our hearts, comfort our wounds, heal our sicknesses, fill our losses, strengthen us that we might persevere for your name's sake in both the joyous and the difficult things of life right now. We are so blessed, so amazed, so overwhelmed at your amazing grace. We thank you for it. We seek your presence, Lord. And thank you that you brought it to us in the person of your Son. Fill our celebration today and tomorrow and into the new year with fresh thoughts, fresh reflections, fresh desires, fresh obedience to let you be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. For those of you in our virtual service, farewell. We trust you have had or will have a Merry Christmas. Same to all of you gathered here with us. Hope you can join us tonight at 5. If you would like to share about something, need prayer, encouragement, or whatever, I'm always up here at the front. Others will meet you in the back. Thanks for being with us on this glorious day to celebrate our Savior.